morning, one of the things that I mentioned earlier in our study, and we'll see this more here, that there's a lot of similarities between certainly some of the other letters that Paul wrote and the ideas, the things that he says in this letter to several of the others. But then also there's so much that Paul brings out from other scriptures that we see. So in other words, we find a lot of what Paul says in this letter to the church in Colossae, we find it backed up and emphasized in other places without the scripture. So which should give us a tremendous amount of confidence in knowing that, you know, again, this isn't just something, as we saw earlier, that Paul just came up with on his own. This is from God. This comes directly from the Lord, he says. Of course, all the scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, but I think it's always good when we know we're reading in one place, and then we're able to look at other places and see where, you know, similar things are being said that help to reinforce the things that we're reading at that particular point. Last week we left off in talking about the Thanksgiving, and we were talking about hope, where Paul is. We're looking in this section in chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 8 here, where he's talking about faith and hope, faith and love springing from hope. We talked about hope last week. Anybody remember what I told you? Hope has two parts of it. Anybody recall what those are? You got, in order to have hope, you have to have these two things. Everybody was asleep last week. Desire is one. Okay, you got to want to. All right, what's the other one? Not faith, but expectation. Desire and expectation. I want it, and I fully expect to receive it. Then we have hope. Okay? If we don't have expectation for something, then we don't really have hope. We may have a wish. We may have a dream. But we don't really have hope, because that hope is not the idea that a lot of people express when we're talking about biblical hope here. We say, for instance, I use the example, we ask somebody, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And what is their response?
I hope so.
But they don't say it with biblical hope. They say it with, you know, worldly hope that says, you know, hey, yeah, you know, I really want to, but I'm not sure if I've been good enough kind of thing. I hope that, you know, the scales tip in my favor and all. That's not hope. That's not biblical hope. You see? Because that kind of hope, worldly hope, really puts all of the weight and the responsibility on who? It's on me and whether I've been, quote unquote, good enough, right? You say, again, I hope the scales tip in my favor. I hope I've been good enough to, you know, enough good things to outweigh the bad and all. Well, that's all on me. And so what that does basically is takes grace out of the picture, doesn't it? And the reason that we can have biblical hope is because of grace. It doesn't count on me being good enough because I can't be good enough. All right? It rests on God's goodness and His promises. You say. So therefore, I expect fully because of God's promises and because He is good, I expect fully to go to heaven when I die. Therefore, I have hope. All right? So we were discussing all of that, and then we're looking at this part. In verse, let me see here. Verse 5, he talks about the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. So we're talking about this gospel now, the word of truth, all right, that has come to the brethren there in Colossae. Now look at what he says about this gospel. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. All right? So, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we started talking a little bit about this last week, the idea of bearing fruit and so forth. So we look at this gospel as two parts of it. He says that it's growing and it's bearing fruit. All right? So, first of all, the gospel bearing fruit. How does the gospel bear fruit? Okay? No. The fruit, and generally speaking, when the scriptures are talking about bearing fruit, it is talking about the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Not more Christians, okay? And so we look at this passage here and go over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. What do we read about there? We read about the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, right? Those are all fruits of the Spirit. So when the gospel is bearing fruit, all right, then generally speaking, in the scriptures, it refers to the result of the gospel is that people's lives are changed so that they are bearing the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Okay, so he talks about here this that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. All right, in John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." So, you know, we're to go out and bear fruit. Okay, but it's what kind of fruit does Jesus say? Fruit that will last. All right, now, one way that I think we can know that he's not talking about fruit being more Christians is that how can we guarantee that those Christians that we, those people that we bring to Christ are going to last? Do what now? No. And in fact, if you look at Jesus in John chapter 6, okay, Jesus had many of the disciples that were following him that didn't like the things that he was teaching, and they turned and quit following him. So now these were disciples, people that had been following Jesus, okay, had put their faith in him, and yet they didn't last. And that was Jesus. Okay?
So when the Lord's talking about pruning and branches and that's about fruit of the Spirit?
Well, some of that, yes. Do we not have to prune, you know, the love that we have in our life and make it stronger and the joy in our lives and learn how to have, you know, better joy and those kinds of things? Now, when he's talking about pruning from the vines and so forth, I think in some of those texts, he's talking about specifically about cutting away those who are unfaithful to him. Okay? So I think the context in some of those passages indicate that. But that's different from what he's telling us in terms of bearing, going out and bearing fruit. All right? Chuck, you had your... I'm sorry? Sure it is. Sure it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we are. We are. But that's, I think, more expressed in the second part of this, that the gospel is not only bearing fruit, but it's also doing what? It's growing. So let's talk about that here in just a moment. But let's make sure we get this fruit part down here, okay? So the idea here is that we're to be bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, okay? And that, is according to what Jesus says, is to be fruit that will last. So in the faithful Christian, then that fruit is going to be growing and increasing and so forth. Peter will give a similar idea of that in talking about adding to our lives these certain characteristics. And so it's to be that the fruit of the Spirit is to continue in our lives, and it's to stay there. Okay? So in other words, when we have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, we're not to get to a point where we go, okay, you know, I got enough fruit here, and everything's good, and so I don't have to do anything else. But rather, I need to continue to be growing in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to work in my life so that the result of that, the Spirit in His Word, is helping me to have more love and more joy and more peace. And don't ever pray and ask for more patience. I'm just teasing, okay? Because, all right, that falls into one of those things to be careful what you ask for, right? But do you see how, you know, just think of your own life as a Christian. I know in my life, when I look all the way back into where I started, okay, and I first became a Christian and I had the Spirit in me, and now the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is growing in me. I would like to think that I've grown more, the fruit of the Spirit has grown in me a lot more now than it did back then. But at the same time, I can see in my own life where it still needs to grow some. Because there are sometimes folks that I encounter that are hard to love. I know y'all don't ever have that problem. Okay? There are some times when I'm not finding a whole lot of joy in whatever the situation that I'm in, and I have to deal with that. Okay? And there's times when, you know, I'm not feeling the peace, you know, and I'm having to kind of work through that and find peace in whatever the chaos or the storm that I'm dealing with at the time is. And, of course, all the rest of those things, it's an ongoing process of life, that the fruit of the Spirit continues to build and strengthen us as we go, and we are then to be bearing that fruit. In other words, so that other people can see that in our lives. So I'll hand up. Okay?
How fortunate we are that we have the gift of
it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you don't retreat, you will grow and say, "Dear Lord, help me do this like you have all the other events in our country."
Absolutely.
Every event that's happening in the past prepares us for the one.
What's coming?
What's coming. And what's coming is going to be a greater challenge than what has happened.
Right. And if we didn't have the previous ones, we wouldn't be ready for the ones that are coming. Allow your fruit to grow within me, the fruit of your Spirit. And keep in mind, you know, this is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not our fruit, okay? In other words, we don't have it within us ourselves. right? So we have to recognize that that comes from the Lord. It is the fruit of the Spirit of God. As His Spirit lives and works within us, then our life, as we allow Him to do that, our life then displays and shows that fruit, the result of the Spirit in our life. And sometimes, you know, as you're saying, we run into difficulties in life. We're challenged and been pulled and stretched a little bit to help us. Why? The goal is that having gone through that, I'm going to be able to bear even more fruit of the Spirit in my life. You see? But keep in mind, it is the fruit of the Spirit. It is not our own. We do not have it within us, ourselves, to produce those things. So the gospel is bearing fruit, he says, and then it's also growing. Okay, so let's talk about how does the gospel grow? Well, it doesn't grow by being added to. Okay, there's no more gospel that's coming. Does that make sense? Okay, so if the gospel is not growing in terms of volume, okay, then how does it grow? All right, well, consider a couple of passages here. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Okay? In chapter 12 and verse 24, but the word of God continued to increase and spread. And then in chapter 19 and verse 20, in this way the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. All right, so let's talk about that for a moment. The gospel is growing. Do you see how? Okay, yeah, it's growing in one sense in that it is more people are listening and obeying the gospel. Okay? But also it is increasing in power or growing in power. So how does that happen? What is that talking about? You think about the gospel growing in power. Okay, strength in number, certainly more people becoming obedient to the gospel. But what else? We just got finished talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And the gospel is growing in power. Ryan?
God works through us. That's what we got to realize, that the more we grow, the more Christians we have, the more God's power that's going to spread.
Okay, all right.
So it's just like the fruit of the Spirit. Once we receive the Spirit, the power of the mighty hand of God works a lot of ways. And I think with this growth of the church, the same way, God is able to work through more people and make a bigger impact.
Okay. Okay. All right. We're nipping at the heels. There's something I want to make sure that you grasp here. Kathy? The power or the influence of the gospel in our lives and in the lives of other people. One of the things that we have to make sure we understand, and I think this is why Paul is emphasizing this part here, is the power of the gospel. Okay? That by itself. What does that mean? We talk about the power of the gospel, the power of God's word in our lives. It has the power to change people's lives. It has the power to save people's lives. Okay? So you know, we have to make sure we don't misunderstand, the Holy Spirit and the Word are working together in this. Okay? They go together. You can't separate the two of them. All right? So you have the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit that is being produced by that. But where does that come from? It comes from the Word of God, you see. And the more that we know about the Word, and the more we know the Word, the more power it has in our lives. Well, why do we need all that power? ink. Why do we need power? Thank you, because we have an enemy, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right? And we've got to have the resources available to fight that enemy and to be able to defeat him. Again, we cannot do that on our own. And so, good morning. And so we have God's Word to teach us, to guide us, and to strengthen us so that we can be victorious in our fight against Satan. All right? And so in that way, we find the Word of God that is bearing fruit, and at the same time, it is growing, Paul says here. Any other thoughts or comments on that or questions? We really need to understand the power of the gospel as it lives and dwells within us through God's Holy Spirit. Kathy? Acts chapter 19 and verse 20. Okay. Any other thoughts or comments on that? Yes, he is.
We really need help to be strong in the power of the Holy Spirit.
And again, that's why we need God's Word. And that's why he emphasizes over and over, the Scriptures emphasize to us learning and digesting God's Word in our lives so that it does become a power source for us. You see? Because we are in daily warfare with Satan. And if we're not, you know, Paul refers to the Scriptures as a weapon, does he not? The sword of the Spirit. Well, you know, if you're using a sword, you want to be successful in battle with a sword, what do you have to do with it? You got to practice. Okay? And the more you practice, the more proficient you become in being able to use it. If you don't practice, then a good swordsman will take that sword away from you, no problem whatsoever. Okay? And so we've got to be practicing, we've got to be studying and learning and growing constantly so that we can use it the same way Jesus did. When Satan attacked him in the wilderness, what did he use? Jesus pulled out his sword and said, "Here it is, it is written." It is written. It is written. It's the best defense you can find against Satan. That's the sword that God has given to us. Okay? Brian and then Miss Jean over here.
Look at today's world. Don't you think they need more love, joy, peace?
Absolutely.
Kindness,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And the more that we allow God's Word to work within our lives, the more powerful the Spirit becomes in our lives, and thus then what? The more fruit that we bear in our lives. Okay? So those two go hand in hand. You cannot separate the two of them from each other. Miss Jean? Make sure it's sharp. That's right. You've got to. And again, that requires a tremendous amount of practice. All right? So we've got to be allowing God's Spirit to be, the fruit of God's Spirit to be growing in our lives and the gospel to be growing, okay? And he says at the end of that part, he says, "Just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it, and understood God's grace in all its truth." So Paul basically is commending them for the very thing that we just got finished talking about. That from the day they heard it, the word has been growing and the fruit has been being born in their lives. Okay? That comes from that gospel of truth. And then he emphasizes here in verse 7, he tells them, where do they learn that truth from? They didn't learn it from Paul initially. Where did they learn it from? Epaphras. Okay. And apparently, you go over to chapter 4 and verse 12, apparently Epaphras was a native of Colossae. But he spent some time with Paul, apparently had been converted by Paul, and then went back to Colossae and probably started the church there. Okay, and that's why Paul gives this reference to that they had learned these truths from him. All right? He refers to him as their dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Okay? So Epaphras has shared with them the results of what he had learned from the gospel and taken back and shared with the brethren there, with the folks, converted people, began, you know, a work there, and was now sharing with Paul the results of that. And so Paul is praying in thanksgiving. It's the beginning of this this particular part. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. So this is how Paul's hearing about it, okay? From this brother in Christ who apparently, again, was the founder of the church there after being taught the gospel, okay? So, verse 9, he begins this next section here, all right? Verse 9 through 14, a prayer for the brethren there, but it's a prayer very specifically for something very specific here, all right? Look at what he says. For this reason, that is all the things he just got finished talking about here, the fruit of the Spirit being born and the gospel growing and so forth. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. And here it is again, bearing fruit, okay, in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So, boy, there's a bunch there, okay? A whole bunch of stuff there. Let's kind of go through and look at some of the things specifically that he's talking about here. So first of all, he's not stopped praying for them, okay? Which goes to one of the things that Paul writes and talks about that we are to pray how often? Continually, right? And Paul is, you know, that's what he's doing. He's praying continually for the brethren there in the church in Colossae, all right? But specifically, and here's an example, okay, that a lot of times we talk about praying, okay? We need to pray. Everybody's in agreement with that, right? Y'all for it? Okay, everybody that's for prayer, raise your hand. If you're against it, keep your hand down. All right, so we're all for it, right? Okay, all right. But here's one of the things that I think sometimes we kind of shortchange ourselves when it comes to prayer because we don't pray oftentimes specifically. Okay? I mean, think about your prayer life and how often when, you know, you pray. But how often do you pray about something very specifically in your prayer? Or do you just kind of pray very generally, very broad? Okay? Well, Paul gives us an example here about praying very specifically. In other words, he identifies several things that he's praying on a regular basis for the church there in Colossae. All right, and let's notice some of these things. All right, he says, asking God, first of all, to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, that's a bunch just right there, isn't it? Okay? So, first of all, to fill you with the knowledge of his will. What's another way to say that? We just got finished talking about it a moment ago. Spiritual knowledge, but specifically knowledge of what? The gospel, God's word, right? Okay, in other words, is that not God's will? Doesn't that share with us, tell us what God's will is? All right, so he's praying for them, although he's already commended them for the growth of the gospel amongst them, okay, but that's not enough. Not enough. He wants them to continue be filled with the knowledge of God's will. In other words, that they would know his word more and more. Okay? And then he talks about doing that through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay? Notice that it is spiritual wisdom. Right. What's another kind of wisdom?
Worldly wisdom.
Okay? Which oftentimes, and we see this happening more and more today in churches, where they're being filled with lots of worldly wisdom, but not much spiritual wisdom. Okay? Because they're not seeking God's will. All right? I was talking last week with one of the guys that I play golf with. You see what a great ministry that is, by the way. You know, I get the opportunity to talk with a lot of guys because they know I'm a minister, and they come to me and asking me questions about things and talking about them and so forth. Well, this fellow was talking about his church that is going through, you know, some division right now, and they're going through that primarily, he said, over the issues of gays and, you know, and all of those kinds of things. And and in all of that, he was talking about just the idea of people not, you know, people not being satisfied with following God's word, and what they're doing is they're putting their own wants and ideas and wisdom and all that into place. And, of course, the result of that is that you find division amongst people who claim to belong to God. So instead of following God's will, they're following man's will. Instead of using God's wisdom, spiritual wisdom, they're using worldly wisdom. Okay, and the result of that is division and so forth. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 1. I mentioned this passage a few moments ago. In what Peter tells us here, 2 Peter chapter 1, let me get somebody to read for us verses 5 through 9, if you would, please. Who's got it? Don't be shy. All right, Kathy, go ahead. Okay, so Paul here is talking about, and this is another example of what I said as we began this morning, where we see, you know, similar things being said in other places in the Scripture, that they would be filled, you know, with the knowledge of God's will, right? And here Peter is talking about the thing we were talking about a few moments ago, the fruit of the Spirit, and adding that. And here he gives these characteristics and says that we are to add them how? What's the term that he uses here? In what? Increasing measure. Okay? So in other words, again, we don't ever get to the point where we look at ourselves and say, I've got enough of these things. Are you ever going to have enough of goodness or of knowledge or of self-control or perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love? Are you ever going to get to a point in your life where you have enough of that? You say, well, my cup's full of that. I don't need any more of that. If you do, then I hope that you'll wake up and realize that you're in trouble. Okay? Because these are things that we can never in this life have enough of. Right? And so that's why he says, add these to your faith in increasing measure. They're always growing within us. And the result of doing that then is exactly what Paul's talking about in back in Colossians. Is the result of it is what? They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in what? In your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Okay? So if you take that and turn it around the other way, then what's the end result? If you don't add these things to your life in increasing measure, then you will be ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah. So this is something that needs to be ongoing. And that's why Paul is continuing every day to pray for them for this increase in their knowledge and spiritual wisdom, so that they will continue, as Peter says, to be effective and productive in that knowledge. The more effective and productive we are in the knowledge, then what is the result? The gospel grows, and there is more fruit that is born, right? Which is the thing that he's saying here. So, then he talks about this wisdom, this spiritual wisdom. What is the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom? Okay. Okay. All right. In 1 Corinthians 1, in verse 17, there Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." So one of the things we have to understand is the difference between human wisdom and godly wisdom is that human wisdom empties the cross of Christ of its power. It takes the power of the cross away. And again, we see that happening in so many churches, so many groups of folks that you know, say they're followers of Christ, but the cross has been emptied of its power in those churches because man's word is taking over and running things. And so the cross's power is being diminished in those places. They talk about grace and mercy, which is what the cross is all about, right? But when you're not living in obedience, and we're going to talk more about that in our worship lesson this morning, then the power of the cross is taken away. And that's what happens when man's wisdom comes into it. Human wisdom comes in and it knows better, you see. And the cross loses its power. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should do what? Ask God, okay? who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Okay? So again, what's the source of the wisdom? If a person lacks wisdom, what do? They go and find an older person than them and ask a wise guy, right? And they get wisdom. No. What does he say? Ask God. Go to God for wisdom. Don't go to one another. Now, you know, that's not saying that we're not to share wisdom with one another. That's not his point. Okay? What is his point?
He's the source.
Yeah. God is the source. Why do I keep going to Jerry when I need some wisdom and guidance? Okay? Not just because he's a whole lot older than I am. Okay? But I know that not only the life experience that he has that has taught him a lot of things, but I also know that he's a godly man and the wisdom that he has comes from God. You see? So yes, we go to one another to obtain some of that wisdom, but we've got to make sure we're going to the right people. Okay? Chuck?
Let us understand that wisdom and knowledge is two separate things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of folks who've got a lot of knowledge, but they don't have much wisdom in what to do with that knowledge. Absolutely. Good point.
Wisdom is the application of knowledge.
Absolutely. Okay. James? Yeah. God doesn't come from man. Okay? But when man's wisdom, when we start relying on man's wisdom, we're going to get into all kinds of problems. Okay? And so we need to be focusing on the right source of wisdom, and that is God. All right? Okay. We are just about out of time. And before we finish up here, Dale is going to be teaching class next week. All right, Cindy and I are going to be visiting the kids. And I don't know, Dale, if you want to pick up in verse 10 and look at this section about daily living. That's one thing that you can do if you want to continue with that or whatever else you want to go with. Okay, so you're going to skip this section?
I may get that at the beginning but I know you're going to come back and pick it up before you left off.
Okay, all right.
In other words, he's going to finish the book.
Yeah, I'll finish
it. He'll finish it. All right. Okay, well, thank you all very much for your input. And I suggest you write down a whole lot of questions for Dale next week.